Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged and excited that you have joined us in the Extra Hour. You know, the voice of the Lord, do you know, if you have never perceived the voice of the Lord, because the Lord's always speaking, but if you sit back and you say, well, you know, the Lord never really speaks to me, available on VFNTV.com to all of our free subscribers, which you can subscribe for free at VFNTV.com, is the voice of the Lord. And understanding the voice of the Lord. And so we talk about all the things that we learn in the Word of God about how God spoke. And when God speaks, you know, things begin, you know, things that are not. God speaks and then they become, you know, and it doesn't matter what your conditions or your circumstances is. Normally God speaks into the opposite. You're living in the opposite of what he's about to say. And then he speaks an opposite encounter and then he brings it to pass.
Right.
You know, when he speaks into a dry place, he can cause streams to begin to flow.
Right.
And if we don't know that, a lot of times we'll look around and go, well, where must have been somebody else? Because I'm drinking bitter water right now, and I don't see any milk or honey that he's talking about. But there's a process that we go through. And I encourage you, you need to really, if you haven't, it was just going to encourage you. Not only are we going to talk about, you know, am I going to talk about some what the Word of God's saying, but the Lord's speaking today. Right now, this moment, and we have to perceive it. He says, though I'm speaking, you know, many people don't even hear him, what he's saying, and how he's saying it. You know, as Americans, you know, quite often, you know, the large portion of America just thinks that, you know, God's just going to speak in words or English.
Right.
You know, but a picture is worth 1,000 words.
Right.
And it's worth 1,000 words. It's amazing that you could see a picture and your heart could fill with joy or your heart can faint. I mean, just off of a picture.
Mm-hmm.
Because When somebody says elephant, for example, the word elephant, I mean, most people don't see the letters that spell the word elephant. They see an elephant, right? Because we actually think in pictures. And so God will give you dreams, you know, and he will show you a picture that's worth 1,000 words, and then he'll speak to you about that. A lot of things that we've already seen happen in America and society, things we have even seen in our local areas of where the VFN TV studios are at, that we had a chance to be able to speak to leaders about what God was saying. And you know, one of them is the former county administrator, George Tuart, that was a county administrator of Escambia County, a good man. And I remember walking into the court, I would say courtroom, because they're set up like court now. You go to the county commissioners in the area, in our area.
Right.
That, you know, and coming formally from, you know, my father was one. And they kind of sit on these high benches. When there, you feel like you're going into like the chief justice.
Yeah, it looks like thrones.
Yeah, right. And nothing personal about that. I mean, they're, you know. And so, but it just feels that way when you go in there. So when I walked in, and I sat on the front row of it, and the court reporter came over to me, and she's talking to me. And then the county administrator stands up, and he leans over that high bench, and he says these exact words. You didn't have a dream, did you?
Oh, wow.
And then what he's saying is, really, you know, are you fixing to tell us something that we need to know? And I did, actually. I delivered what Lord has shown me, and it came to pass. It came to pass. And the court reporter, the one who documents everything, you know, she's a witness to it. She's documenting it, that it happened. Of course, I was talking, you know in part and you prophesy in part, but you have to obey the Lord. You know, you wish that you would be more authoritative when you deliver a word, but, you know, it's just so difficult sometimes to just lay it out there. but I'm getting better at it. You know?
Yes, you are.
And so, because you want people to know and respond and that God loves us and God has a plan for us and God wants to bless us. He wants to bless your economy in your community. He wants to bless your leaders. He wants them to give them wisdom. He has good plans in store for those that are his. And so, it's not a negative thing. It's actually a positive thing. But sometimes he's telling us that we're doing some negative behaviors or we're thinking the wrong thoughts or something, and he just wants to change us,
mm-hmm.
have us, you know, repent. He wants us to turn from that, and then, boom, he just blesses us.
Mm-hmm.
And, look at the people that God has used. I mean, all the way from Rahab and Jacob and all the people. We're not nobody's perfect,
mm-hmm.
but they're repenting. They just go, okay, God, you're right. You're right. And speaking of that, and so in that, then also in the voice of the Lord, you know, understand the voice of the Lord, which you can get on VFNTV.com or on your app, by the way, I believe. No, you got to go to VFNTV.com, be a subscriber first. I'll talk about at the very end some actual encounters where God spoke to me, and then I talk about how it happened. And you can actually know and look and research that's exactly what happened. And then I'll talk about how God spoke and then how it happened,
mm-hmm.
different ways that he had spoken. And he's still speaking today, by the way, and we're going to be telling more about that. And you can see some of it on the VFNTV blog under Prophecies, Dreams, and Visions.
Mm-hmm.
There's several of us that are hearing, God's people that are hearing. But he is saying some very specific things right now, and we want to deliver them to you. But one is your son, you know, mm-hmm. Jonathan, we'll be playing really soon. We'll have it for you of him actually sharing it. But he had a dream five times about one particular topic. And, you know, quite often when we think, well, that's for so-and-so because they had the dream. Well, no, God will actually give a prophetic dream to a person. And then that person will deliver it. And sometimes it can have single meaning to you. It can have double meaning to you and to someone else. And sometimes it can have total meaning to someone else. But mm-hmm. it should be applied that way. First, look at yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Then look at yourself and someone else. And then, you know, progress out from that, asking God and checking in the Word. But in the dream, it was the same as David, my grandson, had.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, I have David. I was riding in the truck with David, and he's 10, and Jonathan's 11. And, well, vice versa.
Yeah.
And actually, they're both. They're both 10. David's 10. Okay. They're both 10. And with that, he's telling me. You're riding down the road. He's telling me about his dream.
Mm-hmm.
And I pulled my phone. I said, "Man, you gotta tell me this." So let's just first just listen to what he says. So he's listening, and I guess it's kind of a little backwards how he's telling it because he's looking in his Bibles. We're riding on the road because we did a word search because in the dream he talked about that there was a wide road and there was a real narrow road,
mm-hmm.
and he was riding a Corvette, of course. A red Corvette.
Of course, I mean,
God knows how to speak a 10-year-old's language, and so in that. He was not taking that wide open road with the Corvette. He was driving, by the way, at 10.
Yeah.
I said, what was the payments on the car? He goes, what? I said, did you put gas in it? He said, no. Oh my goodness. You just don't get it. And so he looks it up and then he finds it. And so now he's going to be reading. So he'll start off reading the scripture that he found, but then he'll talk about the dream. And then I'll come right back. But listen to this.
Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it.
So tell me about your dream. You had a dream. What was the dream?
It was, I was driving this Corvette.
A Corvette.
Yeah. And
we'll pick up that in just a moment on there. And he's talking about he's riding in a Corvette, and with that, he hold on, here it is, right here.
Oh,
yes.
Oh my goodness, that is so neat. Jonathan too was God was talking to him too, right? You just got off the phone with him.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that cool?
Yes.
God's talking to you guys.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, kind of broken up right there. We'll get that for you and play the whole little segment. But he was having the dream, and in the dream, he said that like I said, he was looking for that narrow road. And as a matter of fact, let me do something. I'll be right back. I want to find that. I want you to hear firsthand. We'll come right back. We finally found it. Here you go. This is David. He's 10 years old. He's my grandson. And he's going to be talking about a dream that he had because the Lord speaks to us. Hold on one second.
Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. Many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it.
So tell me about your dream. You had a dream. What was the dream?
I was driving this Corvette.
Corvette.
Yeah. And I saw this wide path, and I didn't want to take the wide path, so I took the narrow path.
What's the word say about the narrow path down there?
Narrow path. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it.
So you were taking the right path, aren't you? Isn't that cool?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. That is sonny. Jonathan, too, God was talking to him, too, right? You just got off the phone with him?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that cool?
Yes.
God's talking to you guys.
Yes.
Bye.
That is so awesome because you have two 10-year-olds that are hearing from the Lord, and we're just watching them talk to each other. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, David and Jonathan were beginning to compare their dreams and what God was saying to them. And God's speaking to us. Mm-hmm. And right now, believe it or not, you know, that there's a lot of religious people who are on the wide road,
mm-hmm.
You know. And that's how you can justify being on the wide road is being, you know, religious. And versus being saved and being with Jesus,
right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And here he is talking, and five times God gave that dream and a variation of that to Jonathan.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and Jonathan, they're talking back and forth. These two 10-year-old boys are talking about the voice of the Lord. But, yeah, I talked to ministers who've been in the pulpit for years, and they say they haven't heard the voice of the Lord.
Mm.
You know, I remember running into a restaurant. And there was a particular minister that was just, the whole church was kind of dropped in his hands for a short period of time because everybody left,
mm-hmm.
because they were going to go somewhere. And he was preparing for a message. He was going to be speaking to the people that day.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I haven't heard. I don't know. It's been so long since I heard from the Lord.
Oh my God.
And you're talking, you know, maybe, you know, 500 to 1,000 people were going to hear from somebody who hasn't heard from the Lord.
Wow.
And 10-year-olds are hearing from the Lord. And right now in America, there's a wide, it's not normal. It is average, but it's not normal. If you are leading God's people, if you are a Christian, period, if you believe in Jesus Christ and you have made him the Lord of your life, he's your shepherd and his sheep know his voice.
Mm-hmm.
He said, there's a day that's coming that you will hear the voice of the Son of Man and you'll live, which means if you don't hear him, you don't know him,
right.
But sometimes you can be hearing him, but you don't know it's him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? He's speaking to you, and you know you're in your head a lot. You know, and your mind thinking, and you're thinking that's you, but you're actually taking credit for that particular thing.
Right.
I'm sure God's really patient because he's probably laughing for about a couple years after you think that was you coming up with that great thought.
Yeah, right.
You know, or that, you know, I'm sure God's not telling me to get my life straight. That couldn't be.
And,
but two 10-year-old boys, I'm watching them talk back and forth on the phone because David is calling Jonathan and he's going, now, listen, I need to know, did you take the wide road? Or did you take the narrow road? I need to know this, you know?
Yeah.
And what color was the car you were in?
Right.
You know,
right,
I was
right,
in the red Corvette. I mean, God just speaks, right? And so mm-hmm. we're pulling up, you know, to a traffic light.
Mm-hmm.
And David and I are in my truck, and we're riding, and we stop. And right in front of us, while these two boys are just finished talking on the phone to each other, clarifying the voice of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about it. We've gotten so far away from the way the Lord speaks that nobody understands that Joseph would not have married Jesus outside of a dream. You know, Joseph would not have married Mary outside of a dream. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Little, yeah, right? That was so funny. Joseph did not marry Jesus.
Yes,
thank you for clarifying
that.
Right? This is not a good season.
Right.
but it was in a dream when he was fixing to divorce Mary because his fiance came home and said, listen, you're not going to believe this. you know, but I'm pregnant, but there was no, I didn't have any, you know, and he's like, he was very honorable. He's going to just go ahead and quietly just divorce her. And he had a dream. In the dream, he spoke to him and he said, listen, this is of me. Don't lay with your wife until she gives birth, and his name shall be Jesus. And so, you know, in that here, the voice of the Lord, I mean, the Lord may be speaking to you over and over again, and he uses symbolism quite often in pictures, because you could see, you know, something, and it could just make this huge impact on you, but very seldom are you going to get words, you know, because we all, no matter what our language is, our ultimate language are images or pictures we see. Mm-hmm. And that's why you see the strategy of the adversary is to get you to worship images, give you new images, new languages in your head, you know, where they speak words that creates images of fear in your life. They speak words that creates images of doubt and things not working out. Mm-hmm. And so you got to change all that. So 2 10-year-old boys are talking about the voice of the Lord. And I believe this is not just to these 10-year-old boys. It's to all of us.
Right.
That we have to hear it. God is shouting. You know, Joseph said to Pharaoh when he was interpreting his dream, there you go again. Mm-hmm. You know, God was giving Pharaoh, an evil man, a dream.
Right.
An evil man who thought he was a god.
Right.
A dream. But God used Joseph, you know, and to come interpret it. And he had 2 dreams. You know, one was a fat cow, skinny cow, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the droughts were coming. But long story short, Joseph said, because the Lord gave it twice, because he said it twice, mm-hmm. that it's definitely going to happen.
Right.
And right now, you know, we have a 10-year-old boy who, 2 10-year-old boys that has together mm-hmm. seen it 6 times.
6 times.
6 times.
Wow.
And, you know, it says in the Word of God, and I feel like we're like, you know, we're here knowing. We're so out here knowing. Like, we're out there. I mean, we're like standing by the fiery furnace going, serve Jesus. You know, we know where we are. We've talked about it before we started. But we love God and love you enough to say, listen, take the narrow road. Mm-hmm. You know, go on without us. We're not going to. And with that many people, there'll be a great falling away. I know that you may have heard a doctrine that's different than the words of Jesus, but he says there will be a great falling away. People can be led astray. It's like a, you know, it goes on and on and on again. And so if you've been taught something that you're so confident you can't be deceived, if you believe that, you've already been deceived.
Right.
Because the very Word of God brings that reality to us that creates a tension between the kindness and the sternness of God, which forces us to a place of humility before the cross. Mm-hmm. That everything has to be checked by the Word. Everything has to be, even though it may have been right for a season, we got to be open to changing it. Mm-hmm. You know, God doesn't mind us eating crow in front of men.
No, he does not.
He's like, did you understand? I got a big plate of crow here and a big plate of crow here. And sometimes he will do that just because, you know, because whatever, he wants to see if you fear him. And sometimes we have to eat crow because we didn't stop and listen, mm-hmm. you know, or seek him first. And the difference between King Saul and King David was, which God appointed both of them and gave them the very same prophetic word. He spoke over them the very same destinies, was that Saul did not inquire of the Lord. He didn't abide with God. Mm-hmm. And David abided.
Right.
He just spent time with God. And if you're not abiding with the Lord and you need some help in that, we have a plan for you at iabide.org. Go there, request your free abiding plan. Instantly it will come to you. This is not a good idea. It's not like, oh, you know, I'm just looking for a Bible study. You know, listen, Saul, you better, start abiding, because even though God said yes to you and you're in a place of leadership or you're a believer, there was a day that God said, I regretted the day that I ever made, chose him mm-hmm. to be king, because he failed to abide.
Right.
He failed to even inquire of me, to ask me what I thought. Mm-hmm. I mean, David made all kinds of mistakes, you know, but he inquired of the Lord.
That's right.
He knew the mercies of the Lord. He would rather fall in the hands of the Lord than the hands of men. Saul was all worried about the hands of men, mm-hmm. you know, and if you have every man on your side, is it really worth it if God's not on your side?
Mm-mm.
You know what I'm saying? Isn't it better to have nobody on your side but God, if that's how it has to be?
Amen.
So I want to encourage you that this is a warning to us all, you know, that we need to check which road we're on. You know, there's a crowd mentality. There's, you know, hopefully we'll get that teaching up in VFN TV, on VFN TV, but, you know, about the herd, you know, this, it's just, you know, it's just amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, you're, if you ever worked with cows before, you know, or even sheep, that, that if so you put a new gate up, something new, cause they're in that pen, they're in this big, you know, pasture, and they'll just come over there. The cows will come over and they'll just stare at the gate. And then another cow will come and stare at the gate that they're staring at. And then other cows on the other side or other sheep will go, you know, and then they'll go. And next thing you know, you got this whole crowd around there.
Mm.
And somebody was saying, this must be a move of God.
The gate,
you know,
changed.
Right. It's got to be a move of God. I mean, look at the herd, look at the crowd.
Mm.
And the reality is it started with a new PowerPoint. I mean, a new gate, you know, a new doctrine. Oh no, a new gate in the, you know, a new, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That you first got to find out, you know, does it line up with the word of God? And that just because you're in a herd don't mean they heard the voice of the Lord, right?
That's right.
So I just want to encourage you this morning that, you know, above all things, you know, you want to follow the Lord. And we've made, American gospel has made it so difficult and such a huge process to get saved. And it's not that, it's just, you just call on the name of the Lord. You say, here I am, you know, and you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord means he is your leader. He is your shepherd. You know, his ways I shall learn and follow him because I love him and he's right. It's not just words. It's actually, if you believe that the chair holds you, you sit in it.
Right.
If you believe your boss is going to pay you, you go to work.
That's right.
You know, if you believe that, you know, when you come out of the water from a deep dive, you're going to get big gusts of air. You fight your way to the top of the water to get a big, you know, gulp of air.
Mm-hmm.
And if you believe that Jesus is your Lord, you are intensely into his word and finding out what he wants and doing it because that's how we love him. Hear do's, as we talk about. You know, we do hear what he says, and we do it because he is the great shepherd, the shepherd of us all. And we can verify, and we always say verify even everything that anybody's saying, but verify as well as what we're saying. Check it out. Check it out. Check out the facts. Look in the word of God. There wouldn't be nothing that encourages us more to know that you went to the Bible, the Bible, you know, the Holy Bible,
right?
You know, not the Book of Mormon, you know, not the Quran, but the Bible. And you looked and verified, you know, what we were saying. And I really believe that it's going to be an amen in your heart. And to check it out, you know, do your homework because you will have to answer for it alone. No witnesses, no suspects before the throne of God. We've been talking about, you know, the voice of the Lord. Make sure you become a free subscriber on VFN TV at VFNTV.com, or you actually can text the number, text the letters VFN, that's V Victor, VFN TV, to the number 22828 and go through a few processes and you can subscribe just like that. Totally cool. Pretty cool. But 10-year-olds are hearing and discussing with each other the voice of the Lord. It's just so cool. We all, every one of us are called to hear his voice. He loves you individually. Individually. It's personal salvation. It is not collective salvation. You're not saved because other people are. You're not saved because your parents are, your family is, or the people around you are saved. You're saved if you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life and you can hear his voice. We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at bfntv.com.
No job comes with a guarantee. You can work for a company for years and then suddenly you're unemployed. But there are ways to deal with this type of crisis in your life. I'm Dr. Bill Meyer for Focus on the Family. The loss of a job can be devastating to a family, but only if you allow your circumstances to get the best of you. Here are some tips for surviving a sudden job loss. First, cut your expenses beginning day one and resist the urge to take a family vacation before looking for a new job. Second, get right back into the market. If you can't find a job you love right away, take any job that'll pay the bills. You can work on your long-term goals in your spare hours, but your first responsibility is to keep your house running. And third, don't rule out relocation or even a career change. Keep your mind open and your eyes peeled. Who knows what exciting opportunities may come your way? For more family advice, come to familyminute.org. That's familyminute.org.
You know, Pat, the great thing about VFN Radio is that you can take it on the go with you. You can do that now with the VFN Radio app. No matter where you're at, you can continue to enjoy VFN Radio on the go. You can search for prophetic words, wisdom moments, and it's right there available. All you have to do is go to your search in your Google Play or your iPhone App Store. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's totally amazing.
Total download, free, doesn't cost you anything. Get the app today. Go to Android or iPhone, Google Play or iPhone app, and search VFN TV and download. Free, doesn't cost you a thing, and take VFN Radio on the go.
If you have not yet thought about, if you haven't thought about going to the next level in God, meaning going, learning more about God, diving into the depths of what God has for you. Listen, the Great Commission is not the great suggestion, no matter what anybody's told you. And we do answer alone, no witnesses, no suspects before the throne of God. But despite all that, you're called and designed by God. You've been given a certain measure of talents to invest in his kingdom, to be able to bring an interest, a dividend back to the king. What does that mean? Sowing your life and what God's given you into other people. If that's you, do you feel like you have a call on your life? A call on your life, and you need to see, I don't know what to do or how to do it. And what I see right now, what's happening seems kind of hard to do. They're talking like $1.3 million building projects and $1.3 million per baptized believer in the church in America. They're talking about, I said, how can I do it? Listen, that's just all religion. Be at peace. It's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be. Simple fishermen can obey God. Find out more today at Vine Fellowship Network University. Go to VFNU.org. VFNU.org.
You know, every one of us go through times in our life where it just seems hopeless. As a matter of fact, I remember watching young people who had on their windshields with vinyl lettering. The words were hopeless. I couldn't believe that. Why would you put that? Don't put that on your, you know, and I can understand maybe it's a cry of your heart. You're going, listen, I need hope. Well, I got news for you that right now on your VFNTV.com or on your VFNTV app, and you can find it by going to your browser and type in VFNTV.com, and it'll lead you through the steps to be able to have it on your iPhone or your mobile device or your iPad or iPod or your all the wonderful stuff that they have out there. And so, but with that, you can get hope, because you got to understand that, you know, when you think about Abraham, against all hope, in hope, he still believed. It's okay. A lot of times we're looking and saying, okay, I've looked at the evidence. I looked at my inabilities. I looked at my finances. I looked at my relationship. I looked at what everybody's saying about me. I've looked at all these different things. But you can do that. You can look at your reality. It's okay in God to look at your reality. And in the natural sense, it ain't going to happen.
Right.
But you still can have hope against that hope, but it's a different hope. It's called faith. It says, now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. And it's hope. It's that kind of hope. You know, inside of me, it hasn't manifested yet, but what I'm believing God for is going to come to pass. And, you know, and I have a dream. I literally have a dream that God is going to pour out a third great awakening. I know, obviously, you know, that, you know, the church is going to have to be, you know, in agreement with what God is saying, but I'm just believing you. That's why we're on VFN TV and VFN radio, to be able to talk to you and encourage you. Listen, it's God's got good plans in store for you, good plans in store for you. And I have a dream. And so here it is. You can do this too. I encourage you to listen to that entire chapter through an audio version or something every day. If it's the first of the month, listen to the whole chapter one and just let it wash over you. Don't pull out your pencil and try to study. Just let it wash over you, because believe me, it'll help you make some decisions. What we're looking at right now in America is a whole bunch of knowledge,
with no wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes the church that's not seeking wisdom right now.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, good intentions just look stupid because it had no wisdom with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't be quick to go, well, you're just stupid.
Right.
You can say, you're just wisdomless, less.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you say, hey, you need to go to Proverbs. You need to start reading God's wisdom. And so Jesus is wisdom. So today is Proverbs 31:8, because here we are facing right now a very important time. This addresses it. That, you know, they're talking about healthcare and they're talking about the poor and the needy, and people are running after capitalism. Like, you know, it's capitalism. You know, that's the ship. We're going to hang on to capitalism. It's like, now's not the time to bring that up. Now's not the time. No, not now. You know, maybe God will let us have that when we get through this. Right. But let's realign ourselves to the cross. The C is for cross, not capitalism. Mm. And maybe he'll let us have it. So the proverb today is Proverbs 31:8-9. It reads, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. For the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy. Let me say it one more time. It's Proverbs 31. This is the wisdom moment. Proverbs 31:8-9. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. For the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Say, speak up. Speak up.
Speak up.
Think about
speak
it.
Up.
Say something. Mm. Church, wake up. Everybody's waiting for somebody else to speak up. And it's like, hello, uh-huh. You got a tongue. You got a mouth. You got a lip. You know, you can go after God. Open your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy. We're supposed to defend the rights of the poor and the needy. Right now, capitalism is being chosen over God's commandments and some verbiage in the church. It's like, we got to hold on to this capitalism. We got to hold on. Like, hold on. Though we live in a country that operates an economy called capitalism, and it's our government, and enables those who desire to achieve their dreams, we need not forget Jesus's ministry, that when during his time of ministry on earth, he was under a monarchy. He was under a monarchy and it was no big deal to him. he wasn't a capitalist at the time. He was under a king's rule.
Mm.
Everything was run by kings.
Mm-hmm.
And God, you know, God's people chose to say, hey, we want a king like they got a king, and they gave him a king, right?
That's right.
Right.
Capitalism is a good idea. But it's not necessarily always God if we abuse it.
Right.
Right.
And you know, the thing that's laid before us, what I'm about to, the argument, the viewpoint that I'm about to lay before us to get us to think about that proverb today is how we abused the blessing that God's given us. See, Jesus knew that his Father God holds the king's heart in his hand, that he directs it like a water course. When, you know, Pilate stood before him and said, don't you know I have the authority to do this or to do that, to let you go? And he goes, you ain't got nothing except what my Father gave you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I don't care if you're a president, whether you're a prime minister, you know, whether you are a king or a queen, like in Great Britain, that, you know, God can change things. It may be easier with a king because you can get a king like Josiah who will just go through the land and rid the land of all the idols and stuff.
Right.
But he never put down their form of government. Why? Because it was the form of government that God has set up when Israel asked for it. So it can't just be focused on, you know, a form of economy. We got to be focused on what God says. You know, what does he say about things? And so he says this. He says that, well, think about this first. We have to remember, no matter, and our brothers and the churches all over the world, and all kinds of forms of government, you know, whatever form of government that we're under, whether it's a capitalist government, socialism, Marxism, communism, we as believers operate in a different order.
Mm.
It doesn't matter what government's going on, because we know that if God wanted this king to go a certain way, then like Nehemiah said, because God's hand was on me, the king granted me all my requests.
Mm-hmm.
We don't trust in men's government. We trust in God of the governments. And so with that, you know, we want to make sure that we're not hanging on to capitalism, you know, when it comes down right now. And so when you think about it, which is this, we need to begin to speak up then. You know, God's economy says, he says, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the widow, the fatherless, the homeless, the poor, the slave. Well, think about it.
Mm-hmm.
You think
mm-hmm.
about this, that this is how God speak up for the one who can't speak for themselves. Who can't speak for themselves? The unborn child in the mother's womb.
That's right.
The right of the destitute. Those who are set out, things aren't working well for them.
Right.
We don't look at them as believers and go, hey, you just need to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You know, that's what maybe a worldly viewpoint of capitalism would say. But us as believers, we say, listen, we want to empower you with a vision and a dream and work with you to be able to achieve something. But we just don't say, you know, whatever, whatever.
Right. We need to have compassion.
Yeah.
People out and bring people in and say, hey, listen, and talk about what you just shared earlier, that, you know, it ain't over till God says it's over. Oftentimes people are struggling and they're going through issues, and it's amazing how just pride can come over a people where we think that maybe, you know, someone deserves that. No one deserves it.
It's a blessing. It's totally a blessing.
I mean, this is a blessed country.
And so you think about it. So then he also, when a matter of justice comes before us, you know, when a matter of justice comes before us, then we, in our community, us as a people or us as believers, we need to speak up when we see an injustice. We need to judge fairly, and we need to defend the rights of the poor and the needy. We just don't ignore the rights of the poor and needy. And this is the thing. This is what happens in America. This is the viewpoint. People go, that's right. You need to stand up for me because I'm poor. You know, because I'm destitute. He's like, really? Really?
Right.
Okay, let's just study America for a moment. Let's compare America to the world and how God has blessed this country. You think about it. I'm reading from an article here from John Donne. In a moment, we're going to be able to hear it. But listen, we are living in the top 3% of the world. We are using most of the resources in the world. We're taking 40% of our food and sticking it in gas tanks because we made a law that says we have to have ethanol. While people are starving, we're riding around in our cars with their food. We're burning their food that would give them nourishment, the corn, in their bellies. I mean, if we give them nourishment in their bellies, we're burning them in the bellies of our cars. Because we made some law that ethanol has to be mixed in with the gas. While at the same time, according to George Barna, 96 to 97% of the church, the regular church attenders who go in their gatherings every 2 weeks, are robbing from God in tithes and offerings. They're not even giving God what's his, the tithe. You think about it. And at the same time, we'll come against health care for all Americans, which I understand, and I know that presently, you know, with our present economy and the state of the people, it's not good for government to provide be the source of health care. I totally understand that. But we have to give careful thought to all of this. You know, for you alone, not your political party, not your group of friends who agree with you all the time because that's why you hang out with them, not even your family will be with you when you stand before the throne of God and have to answer for what? How did you speak up for those who could not speak for themselves?
You can't
point at nobody. And then he's going to ask you too. He's going to, how did you speak up for all who were destitute? And somebody goes, well, I don't even know what destitute even means.
Yeah. Get a dictionary out.
Yeah. Well, not only that, you know, that you need to find out. You need to totally understand that. And how this is what you're going to stand alone before God and say, how did you speak up and judge fairly? How did you defend the rights of the poor and the needy? And understand, if 97%, according to George Barna, are robbing from God, they're robbing from the poor as well.
Right.
You know that's right.
You know? The prosecuting attorney, our methodology in our country was biblically correct when he says you can't afford an attorney. We'll have one appointed for you to represent you if you wish. What we're saying is we want you to be judged fairly, and we're convicting people before they even get a chance to defend themselves. It's right before God when we actually give somebody an attorney that can represent them, that argues their side and defend them. You know, that's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not somebody says, I can't stand those attorneys. It's like, you'll like them when you get falsely accused.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
You got a number to win them, guys?
And somebody, you know, so we got to think about, you know, taking care of the needy, taking care of the poor. I mean, think about Paul when he's writing the Church of Corinth, you know, 2 Corinthians 8:13-15. He said, our desire, when he was asking them to be faithful in this area of being able to give, our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard pressed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
While you are hard pressed, but that there might be equality.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reading this in the Bible. I'm reading this in the Bible, and so you can't say that's not true. That's not true. It's like we gotta, you know, there people's approach to this might be wrong, but we can't say that's not true.
Right.
We can't say it's not true. At this present time, he goes on to say, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in their turn of plenty will supply you in your time of need. Mm-hmm. In other words, it's like right now, bro, I'm a little low. But tomorrow, right, when I'm a little high and you're a little low, I'll help you out. Mm-hmm. That's how God works, especially the church works. Then there will be equality, he says, as it is written, he who gathers much did not have too much, and he that gathered little did not have too little. Why? Because they met each other's need. I mean, think about it in Matthew 25. This is how we're going to be judged.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we got to pay attention. God's shouting at us at our viewpoint right now, despite the vessels he's using.
Right.
We have to go into his word and find out, you know, even though somebody's heart might be wrong and the God they may be serving is wrong, whoever that is, mm-hmm. if they're saying what's right, you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You know, in Matthew 25, Jesus says that we will be judged in the last days by this. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it.
Right.
He says, you know, he says, in the last days, I will gather you as a king gathers his sheep and his goats, and I will divide the goats from the sheep. And he'll say to the goats, he'll say, when I was hungry, when I was thirsty, when I was poor, you know, you didn't even respond to me. You right. didn't help me. You didn't even think about me.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to say, and they say, when do we do this? When do we not do that?
Not feed you.
You know me. If I would have known you was here, you know, cuz I would have cut you something. I would have done something for you. Why? Because I do something for you. But Jesus, when the poor person can't do anything for you and you don't do anything for them, then the only reason you're doing stuff for people is what you get back. But when you give to people who are in need, they can do nothing for you. That's a giving. When you give to somebody who can't give back, that's when you're giving to God.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so, and they said, you know, we would have done this. And so, and he goes, no, whatever you didn't do for mm-hmm. the least of these, you didn't do for me. Away from me, you evildoers, and go to where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about it. Think about that. That's hell. Mm-hmm. Man, we got to pay attention to what's going on right here, this wisdom moment for today. And then he says to the sheep, he goes, hey, when I was hungry, I was thirsty, I was in prison, I was sick, and I was homeless, you know, you fed me, you gave me water, you visited me in jail. When I was sick, you came in and sat with me. And they go, and they said the same thing. You know, when did we do this? It's like, this is just who you are. Anytime you saw a need, you took care of it. In the midst of that, some of those people were me. You know, some of those people were me. And he says, well done, enter in thy good and faithful servant. You know, he brings you into the reward of the Lord. And so understanding that, then we got to pay attention to this proverb.
Right.
Right.
You know, we can't just shut everything down because people are, you know, God's not a Democrat and God's not a Republican. You know,
right.
He doesn't ride on the back of an elephant or a donkey.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
God's on his side.
That's
and
true.
this is what we've got to forget about all the stuff that men have turned this country into right now. We got to focus and focus on God as Christians and find out what we're supposed to do. And mm-hmm. John Durer writes in his article here about the United States, speaking about wealthy, because quite often people go, you know, that's right. You need to take care of me because I don't have, I'm a little low on my, my tuna. Yeah, I'm a little low. I'm a little low on my, my caviar, you know?
Right.
And, so with that, you know, it's not true. It's not true poverty. You know, it's not true poverty, but because we're a blessed nation. So let's talk about America for a moment compared to the world, because we're only believe it or not, America, we're just a small smidgen of the world. We're just a small piece of the world. and we're only 300,000, twice the population, 300 million, twice the population of America just lost power in India. That's how small we are.
Wow.
And only half of them. That's only half of them. Let's find out what he writes in his article. He says, the United States is undeniably the richest and most powerful nation over the face of the earth. The gross domestic product of the United States is larger than the next two biggest economies combined, which is China and Japan.
Mm.
That's like how big our economies are. The U.S. economy outproduces the combined economies of 47 poor nations.
Wow.
47 nations, we outproduce them, which accounts for 53% of the population of the world.
Mm.
These 47 nations include China and India. But on an individual scale, just how does the income, he writes, of the average American compare to the average income of the poor in the world? In 2000, the per capita income of the United States was 360% higher than the world's average per capita. Hold on, you got to get this. You got to get this, John. our average income You know, the ones going, you know, I don't think I have enough caviar this week. You know, I'm concerned about my massive cable package is going to be cut back this week. I'm just trying to figure out how I'm going to get through this, you know.
Right.
And my 401k, you know, is just kind of, I just don't know. It's like, dude, listen, the average income of America is 360% higher than the world's average per capita income.
Mm.
I mean, what do you say when somebody gets a 360% raise next to you?
Wow.
Right.
And then the nerve to even say, in the midst of your penthouse that you have it bad. I mean, we're fixing to get in trouble. If we don't wake up, church, we're going to have to wake up to this. The U.S. boasted a per capita income of $34,100, while the average world's per capita income was
$7,410. Wow.
Think about
that.
You
can't even buy a brand new car in this country. Brand new car.
And it's measured. And it's measured on the international dollar. And understand this too, that it's not that the fact that we're bad because we're blessed. The fact is we could be bad because we did not acknowledge who blessed us by honoring him with our life. And 97% of the regular church attenders who proclaim to know this God, you know, are robbing from him, and he's given them 360% more. 360% more. It's like, we got to pay attention to this.
Right.
We're going to have to get, you know, poor focused. We're going to have to get needy focused. There's injustices taking place, you know? And then it goes on. He goes on to write in his article, this does not, we'll make this available on the VFN Torch. You can get it at VFNTV.com. This does not give an accurate picture because the world's average per capita income includes the U.S. and other wealthy nations, such as Europe, he goes on to say. Therefore, let's look at the 56% of the world's population who comprise the world's poor. 56% of the world's population comprise the poor.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. 56%. And so with that, he goes on to say, According to statistics from the World Bank, 56% of the world's population live in extreme poverty. 56%. Think about that. 56% of the world's population live in extreme poverty. They survive on an income of less than $730 per year. $730 per year.
Right.
Think about this. Think about it. I mean, how many people, I mean, you know, that's what they survive on.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they survive on. They survive on $730 per year. Or that's $2 per day. I mean, half of a price of a cappuccino in Starbucks is their whole day's pay. Their whole day's pay. Think about it. We got to pay attention. Listen, right. Listen to me. Listen to me, guys. Listen to me. Listen to this. So important, because right now this country's about to go down because of the injustices, and we're not speaking up for the poor.
Mm-hmm.
$2 a day. 56% of the population of the world comprise the world's poor, extreme poverty, and they're living on $730 per year, $2 per day. Half of the world's poor, who comprise 28% of the world's population, live on $1 or less a day.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. Half of the world's poor, who comprise 28% of the world's population, so 28% of the world's population, of the 6 billion people on the face of the earth, 28% of them, of the world's population, live on a dollar, less than a dollar a day. That's huge. That's totally huge. In comparison, the average American earns 46 to 92 times more than the poverty-stricken comprising over half the world's population, he says. I mean, think about it. They're earning a dollar a day.
Mm-hmm.
They're earning a dollar a day, and they're earning a dollar a day, and we're earning like $46 to $92 a day. We're not the world's poor.
Right.
We're not the world's poor. You know, we're the wealthy.
That's right.
We're the wealthy. And we have to respond. What are we doing with that which God blessed us with? Are we saying, hey, we don't want to take care of the sick when we're living in this kind of wealth? And he goes on and says, if you are like me, you might say, but things are so much cheaper in the poverty-stricken nations. Yes, he goes on to say this. He says that, but it actually costs more time and energy and all this stuff to be able to farm it. I want to be able to say this. I'll move quickly along because we're coming to the end here of this first hour. Is in James chapter 5, verse 1 through 6, he talks about this. He talks about this. He says, now listen. Now listen, you rich people.
Mm-hmm.
So who's he talking to then? It'd be America, right?
That's right.
If we're getting paid 365% more, he's talking to America, right?
That's right.
So he said, listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming upon you. Your wealth has rotted and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and your silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay your workmen who mow your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters are reaching the ears of the Lord God Almighty. You have lived on earth in the lap of luxury and self-indulgence.
Wow.
You have fattened yourself for the day of slaughter. When so many things are going on right now, I really believe, because you can look at the statistics, we are the most blessed nation right now on the face of the earth in regards to finances and all the things it's given us. God's given us. And here we are. What are we doing with that?
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing with this?
Right.
And we're saying we're not going to take care of your of a sick person while we're robbing from God. You know, while we're getting paid 42 to 92, whatever dollars per their $1 a day. You know what I'm saying?
Wow. I mean,
we got to change. Oh, my goodness. And so I just want to share with you about this moment of wisdom today, that we got to begin to speak up for those who are destitute, for those who can't speak up for themselves. We got to be able to speak up and judge fairly over a situation. We got to hear the matter out. It's amazing how seemingly smart one side of the argument appears until you hear the other side of the argument.
That's right.
You know, and you walk in a man's shoes. And we need to defend the rights of the poor and the needy. Today's proverb in this wisdom moment is Proverbs 31, 8 through 9. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy.
All right.
We need to pay attention.
We do.
This is where we are today. And wisdom says this, check yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It says, check yourself, America.
That's right.
Church, check yourself. You know, don't grasp onto the C for capitalism while you're letting go of the cross, the C for the cross in Christ.
Right.
Listen, it's America's a byproduct. It's a byproduct of a people who wanted to worship God freely. The United States of America and the U.S. Constitution, we got to turn our hearts back to God. It's not over till it's over. I mean, think about it. It's so important. It's not over till God says it's over. And with that, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you that you got to hear. If you missed the first hour, and it was just, it's encouraging. It's encouraging to know that when your back is against the wall, look up, because your deliverance is near. Your deliverance is near. And with that, that's the first hour. And the second part, you know, we're talking about the moment of wisdom. We got to really understand what's being said to us in this nation. That when those who don't even profess to know Jesus Christ have more loyalty to the very things that God would say than the people who proclaim to know God and follow through Jesus Christ, then we got to check ourselves. You know, being rebuked. You know, God will use the world to rebuke the church, discipline the church. And, you know, God's perspective of healthcare and the poor and the needy that we talked about in the first hour, and you got to catch it. But how America, let me find this particular number here. You got to hear this. This is amazing. Totally amazing that per capita that Americans, the United States, we get paid 365% higher than the world's average per capita income. We get paid 365% higher. Think about it. That's huge.
Right.
That's like you get paid $1 an hour.
Right.
And I get paid $360 an hour, and I go, what's your problem?
Wow.
I don't know, 359 issues I have right here. You know, I got 359 issues. What's the problem? This is a capitalistic government. And it's like, you know, okay, well, cool. Okay, I understand that. But what is God? I mean, Jesus was on earth during a monarchy. You know, a king was ruling, and, you know, and all kinds of things were going on.
Right.
And he wasn't concerned about that because, you know, no matter what form of government there was, that God was in control and he directed their heart like a watercourse.
Mm-hmm.
You got to hear that. You got to hear the second part of the first hour. We got to get the right perspective of what, you know, God is saying and doing. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. Well,
yeah.
I wasn't talking about that miracle. I was talking about another miracle.
Oh,
that
miracle.
The one that you received.
Again.
Don't you remember?
Come on, man.
Help me.
You were driving across the plains of America in the storms, and we're talking about the goodness of God in the land of the living. And We were talking about, this is what happened, Pat.
Obviously, he's got amnesia.
So, you know, we're talking about the Lord and all these wonderful things that God's doing. And and all of a sudden, he's in all this traffic. I don't know, probably 8 lanes of traffic, I'm imagining. I can ask him when we finish talking about him. and all of a sudden, he just interrupts our conversation with, "Oh no!" And I'm thinking, oh my goodness,
what happened?
Maybe he can't reach the accelerator. I'm thinking, what's going on right here?
Get another phone book.
Quick. Oh, that pillow thing may have slid out. And so I'm thinking, this is dangerous in traffic. You know, you got to be able to reach those pedals. And all of a sudden, I didn't know what it was. And finally, he let me know that he was out of gas.
Oh, are you serious?
He was out of gas, and he was like, it was raining. I can tell it was raining because his wipers were going, boom, boom. His phone picks up so good. I'm like,
everything.
I'm not going to get a rabbit trail because I'll be lost. But anyway, that and it was just over. He's going to be stuck on the side of the road in the middle of the rain.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, it was another state because he was heading back to his state. And he prayed. I'll say, okay, I'll let you go.
Bye.
Let me know how it goes.
I'll let you go.
He didn't stay in
prayer. I'm sure, you know, you can work this puppy out. I'll let you go. I'll let you go. You know, we just said a prayer for him. Dear God, help John.
Those all seem to work.
And next thing you know, I get a phone call, and he gives me a testimony that God just caused the car to begin to run on fumes. It ran on fumes all the way to a gas station.
Oh, my God.
And he got gas.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That has never happened for me.
No. Well, John gets extra miracles.
He gets extra credit.
He gets totally extra miracles. You know, you're just too smart. If we, you know what I'm saying? It's, you know, we you know what I'm saying? John and I need a lot more miracles than you.
We need a lot of miracles.
Yeah, that's amazing. So back to you, John.
Yeah, thanks. Actually, it was the car stopped.
You didn't look at the gas gauge.
Rain. Gas. And I got caught up talking to, you know, Mr. You-Know-Who. And so we're having this in-depth conversation. We're having such a great conversation. Oh, my goodness, I forgot to get gas. So
He knew this because his car began to jerk all over the road. Not because he looked in the direction of the gas gauge.
Needle, yeah.
Hiccups, you know, hiccups. And so it was an experience. It was an experience, to say the least.